ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam. Gotta see. Seventh canto, chapter 15, text number 34. Evam abhyasyatas Chitam Kalenalpiyasya Yate Anisham Tasya Nirvanam Yati Anindana Vinivat Evam Abhyasyatas Chitam Kalenalpiyasyayatehe Anisham tasya nirvanam Yati anindana vanivat Evam abhyasyatas chittam Kalenalpiyasyayatehe Anisham tasya nirvanam Yati anindana vanivat Kalena nisayate Anisham tasya nirvanam Evam abhyasyatas chittam Kalenalpiyasyayate Anisham tasya nirvanam Tanindana vanivat Evam abhyasyatas chittam Evam abhyasyatas chittam Kalenalpiyasyayate Anishtasya Dasya Nirvanam Atyanandana Vahivat Vaishnavis Evam Abhyayastas Chittam Kalenalpiyasyayate Anisham tasya nirvanam Yatyanindana vagivat Shittam Anayasayate Jump, evam. In this way, abhyasyataha, of the person practicing this yoga system. Chitam, the heart. Kalena, in due course of time. Apiyasha, very shortly. Yate, of the person practicing yoga. Anisham, without cessation. Tasya, of him. Nirvanam, purification from all material contamination. Yati, reaches. Anindana, without flame or smoke. Vanivat, like a fire. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. When the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Please repeat. When the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Purport. Nirvana means the cessation of all material desires. Sometimes desirelessness is understood to imply an end to the workings of the mind. But this is not possible. The living entity has senses. And if the senses stop working, the living entity would no longer be a living entity. He would be exactly like a stone or wood. This is not possible. Because he is living, he is nitya and chetana, eternally sentient. For those who are not very advanced, the practice of yoga is recommended in order to stop the mind from being agitated by material desires. But if one fixes his mind on the lotus feet of Krishna, his mind naturally becomes peaceful very soon. This peace is described in the Bhagavad Gita 5:29. Bhoktaram Jagatapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram Suridam Sarvabhutanam Yatvamam Santim Richati. If one can understand Krishna as the supreme enjoyer, the supreme proprietor of everything, and the supreme friend of everyone, one is established in peace and is free from material agitation. However, for one who cannot understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead, the practice of yoga is recommended. Om Gyana Tumarandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshus Unmilitam Yena Tasmaya Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Upakadamayam Dadanti Swapadantikam Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasari Gaura Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Vanchakopa Tupyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. So the verse again. Evam abhyasa taschitam kalenal piyasa yatehe anisham tasya nirvanam yati anindana vanivat. When the yogi regularly practices in this way, in a short time his heart becomes fixed and free from disturbance, like a fire without flames or smoke. Has anybody ever seen a fire without flames or smoke? Can anyone have any ideas? Yes? But there's smoke. Welding gives off some fumes, doesn't it? Okay. So we could think of one idea, like there's either no flame or no smoke, like the sun also that's giving off so much intense fire, but there's no smoke. You know, there's, what else? An iron rod, he said. Is an iron rod, you know, like is like fire, but it doesn't give off any flames. So these are nice analogies. So just from these analogies, it's amazing one can become self-realized. We're going to talk about three analogies today, and they give us an idea of how to understand the mature world, how to understand God, and how to understand ourselves. This mature world, everybody wants peace. Just like now it's the holidays. What's the song? Peace to all. Happiness and peace to everybody. Hallelujah. But everybody's running around. Their minds are totally disturbed, right? What am I going to get for Christmas? Oh, I'm waiting. I don't have time. I forgot to buy a gift for somebody. To rush out last-minute shoppers. So this is what everybody's looking for. And it's like trying to find peace here in society. It's like trying to find a fire without flames or smoke. And we wonder if that's possible. It reminds me of the verse in the Bhagavad Gita. Yata dipo navatasto. That as a lamp in a windless place does not waver, so the transcendentalist whose mind is controlled remains always steady in his meditation on the transcendent self. So this is the clue that if we remain with our mind fixed on the lotus feet of Krishna in Krishna consciousness, then it will remain steady, just like the candle in a windless room. It burns very steady. It's not disturbed by the winds of distraction. And that's what there is in this material world, so much distraction to absorb us. And there's also another verse, Yato yato nischalati manas chanchalam astiram tatastato niyamyaitad atmani eva vasam nayet. From whatever and wherever the mind wanders due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. So this is the yogic process, is that we're trying to concentrate our mind on Krishna, but it seems to be diverted in so many different ways. There's so many distractions, especially this time of year. So many places and colorful things to see. So many wonderful images. So many different movies and places to go. It's very distracting. So it's a very intense training that's required to keep the mind fixed on Krishna. It's very hard work. But the yogi, he's striving very hard, but he ends up confused. He can be engaged for thousands of years trying to control the mind, like Vishwamitra Muni. Thousands and thousands of years meditating, and he just hears the tinkling bells of Menaka, and then he falls. His mind wavers and flickers, and he becomes completely distracted. But actually, in Krishna consciousness, the devotees, they don't have to actually worry, because simply by this process of being absorbed in Krishna consciousness, one's mind is automatically controlled. We just simply hear a sound vibration, we become distracted. People open and slam the doors, and you're distracted, the mind goes there. So if we're always hearing the sound vibration of Krishna, then automatically our mind will be fixed on Krishna. Even though we're accustomed to think so many things, still we'll be thinking of Krishna. So we'll talk about the different analogies. There's the analogy of the stomach. There's actually fire in the stomach. There's the analogy of color and how the sun, through its different reflections, gives off color. And then the analogy of fire itself. So first, let's talk about the stomach. Prabhupada describes how actually there is fire in the stomach. Krishna is in the stomach. It's a Bhagavad Gita verse that he digests all the food in the stomach. Without that fire, one gets sick. And then if you go to an Ayurvedic doctor, then he'll provide some kind of medicine that you need to stimulate the bile secretion, which actually causes the fire in the stomach. But if you have strong digestion, then you don't need medicine. So this is like the process of devotional service. It's a fire. Process of devotional service is actually a fire. And it's so strong that if a devotee engages in devotional service, he doesn't need to act separately to attain transcendental knowledge or detachment from these material distractions. So this is, the devotee doesn't have to go through all this trouble. Simply develop this relationship with Krishna. The another analogy is like the stomach. You feed the stomach and automatically the whole body is nourished. So similarly, we're just focusing on Krishna and automatically everything's taken and understood. And then the other analogy of color, we actually heard this analogy this last Sunday, Srila Prabhupada in his lecture. He talks about this gunar vichutaha. Just like he talked about the three colors, some people like the color red, some people like the color yellow, some people like the color blue. So these represent the different modes of material nature. Red is passion, yellow is goodness, and blue is ignorance. So this is the material world, and you can analyze everything in the material world in these three modes of material nature, or these different colors. So it's described how we should become free from this colorful life. You know, there's so many distractions, this, that, so many colors and attractive, glittering objects of sense gratification. But we must become free from this. And the Buddhists, Prabhupada described in that lecture on Sunday, how the Buddhists give us a hint that you just have to finish it off. Finish this colorful life. No more. Zero. Become zero. But as Prabhupada mentioned, it's not possible to become zero, this nirvana. It's not possible. But actually, we should engage in a superior, colorful life of devotional service. And Prabhupada gives a nice analogy that we like to have many wonderful, colorful clothes or colorful ornaments. But if we simply just get some colorful ornaments and clothes for the deities, then that is a higher form of colorful life. Because if you satisfy Krishna, like satisfying the stomach, then automatically we become satisfied. And that's actually detachment from this material world. We're utilizing everything for Krishna because we recognize it is actually nothing but Krishna's energy. And every morning we sing that. Shiva Grahada Naranityananda, how the spiritual master is always offering, you know, engage in temple worship, engages his disciples in temple worship. They dress the deities in beautiful clothes and ornaments and clean the temple and do other similar services like that. And also the other one, how Chatur Vidha Bhagavat Prasada, how the spiritual master is always offering four kinds of delicious foodstuffs. That which are licked, chewed, drunk, and sucked. And then when he sees that the devotees are satisfied by eating this Bhagavat Prasad, he's actually satisfied too. So colorful foods, tasty foods, so many wonderful things in the material world. It's not that we give it up and put it to zero. You know, it's just like trying to say that the living entity can have no thoughts. Otherwise, Prabhupada said, you'd just be a stone or a piece of wood. So we have desires, and these have to be properly utilized. And this is the process of Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada says here that, so if you change your colorful life of this material existence, and if you take to the colorful life, if you simply make zero, then it will not be fruitful, because we cannot become zero. It is not possible. People say that you become desireless. That is impossible. How can we become desireless? That is the life to desire. The desire has to be purified that is wanted. That purified means, instead of desiring a very nice dress for yourself, when you desire the nice dress for Krishna, this is purified. This is purified. Instead of desiring yourself to eat very nice palatable dishes, if you offer Krishna nice palatable dishes, then you become desirelessness. So that's the desirelessness. It's like a flame without, a fire without flames. How can we become desireless? We're desireless by using it for Krishna. So now back to another analogy of fire. And this is a very interesting analogy. Srila Prabhupada said that there's actually two verses I'm going to quote. And Prabhupada said that these two verses actually encompass all the four principles of the Vaishnava philosophy. And it's the basis of the thesis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. So just see, from one simple analogy, from two verses, we can entire the whole Vaishnava philosophy doctrine. And these are the verses here. They're from the third canto, 28th chapter. The blazing fire is different from the flames, from the sparks, and from the smoke. Although all are intimately connected, because they are born from the same blazing wood. And then the next verse. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is known as Param Brahma, is the seer. He is different from the jiva soul, or individual living entity, who is combined with the senses, the five elements, and consciousness. So Prabhupada gives a very wonderful purport here. And I'll just summarize. He mentions how this is a clear conception of the complete whole is given herewith. That the living entity is different from the material elements and the supreme living entity, the personality of Godhead, who is the creator of the material elements and is also different from the individual living entity. And this is the philosophy propounded by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, which is Achinta Bheda Bheda Tattva. How everything is simultaneously one and different from everything else. So Prabhupada goes on to say, the cosmic manifestation created by the Supreme Lord by his mature energy is also simultaneously different and non-different from him. The mature energy is non-different from the Supreme Lord, but at the same time, because that energy is acting in a different way, it is different from him. Similarly, the living entity is one with and different from the Supreme Lord. This is the simultaneously one and different philosophy. That's from the Bhagavata school. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that living entities are compared to the sparks of a fire. As stated in the previous verse, fire, flame, smoke, and firewood are combined together. Here the living entity, the material elements, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead are combined together. The exact position of the living entities is just like that of sparks of fire. They are part and parcel. The material energy is compared to smoke. The fire is also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. In the Vishnu Purana, it is said that whatever we can see or experience, either in the material or spiritual world, is an expansion of the different energies of the Supreme Lord. So as just as fire distributes its light and heat from one place, the Supreme Lord distributes his energies all over creation from himself. So this is where Prabhupada says how these four principles of the Vaishnava philosophy is included in these two verses. And they are the doctrines of Suddha Advaita. That's the purified oneness. And then there's Dvaita Advaita, simultaneously oneness and difference. And Vishishta Advaita and Dvaita. So these are the four principles of the Vaishnava philosophy. And this is the whole thesis of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And Prabhupada, once someone asked Prabhupada, how does this Advaita philosophically relate to Krishna consciousness. And Prabhupada explained to him how the basic principle of Advaita philosophy is that the living entity is one with God. That's a fact, Prabhupada said. But we're also none, because we're non-different from God. The example he gave him is like the president. We're one with the president because we're all Americans. But you're not one with the president in his position. Prabhupada used that analogy. Doesn't mean because you're an American you're on the same level as the president. That's not a fact. So Prabhupada says, similarly, we are qualitatively one with God. The word qualitatively means that whatever we have as spirit souls, God also has. And then there's the analogy of the ocean. Just like you analyze a drop of water in the ocean, it has the same chemical composition as the ocean. It's one, but it's a minute particle. It's not the same. So similarly, we're a spiritual spark of Krishna, the supreme spirit soul. So we're minute, but we're also spiritual. So that's it. So he's infinite, and we're infinitesimal. So we're qualitatively one, but quantitatively different. And then Prabhupada here was explaining more about the Advaita Vadis. They're the ones that they simply accept the feature of being qualitatively one with God. They forget that quantitatively they cannot be equal with God. So Prabhupada concludes here. So our philosophy, the Vedanta philosophy, is a chinta bheda bheda tattva, inconceivable simultaneous oneness and difference between God and the living entity. We are qualitatively one with God, but quantitatively we are different. That is our philosophy, Vaishnav philosophy. So Advaitavada, oneness, and Dvaitavada, difference, are both true, but are non-different. We are non-different from God in quality, but different in quantity. That is perfect philosophy. So just see from these simple analogies, we could understand, you know, this such exalted philosophy. So just to recap a little bit, there's different stages of transformation of these material bodies. And they occur like the flames of a candle or the current of a river, or like another analogy, the fruit of a tree. So some people may look at a lamp and say, oh, see, that's the light of the lamp. But by the time you said that, the light of the lamp is already gone, because there's thousands of molecules of light are coming and passing every second. So it's gone. So which part did you see? It's gone. The light of the lamp is completely changing, constantly changing. Or like the river. You look, oh, there's the river. Oh, which part? What river? Like all the molecules of the river are just constantly flowing. So what you saw is already gone. So it's like that in the material world. Everything's always changing. So similarly, although we have a material body, it's constantly going under transformations. And if we just simply waste our life falsely thinking that this particular body that I'm in now at this particular age is actually me. Like we say, oh, there's a child. It's not like that's not this. I mean, it's a child, that's a body, but it's going to change. That's not really the person. Or there's an old man. That's not the person. That's just a temporary change. So that's falsely thinking. And it's probably says it's actually wasting our lives in that way. And Prabhupada says here, the element fire exists perpetually within the material creation, but in connection with a particular piece of wood, fire apparently comes into existence and ceases to exist. So similarly, how fire exists perpetually everywhere, but because it manifests in a particular piece of wood, you know, we say, oh, it exists, that's fire. And then that, when it goes out, it's extinguished. But it's perpetually here, fire. So similarly, the living entity is eternal, but in connection with a particular body, apparently takes birth and dies. The reactions of karma thus impose an illusory suffering or enjoyment upon the living entity, but they do not cause the entity himself to change his eternal nature. In other words, karma represents a cycle of illusion in which each illusory activity produces another. Krishna consciousness stops this cycle of karma by engaging the living being in spiritual activities in loving service to Krishna. By such Krishna consciousness, one can escape the illusory chain of fruitive reactions. So just to conclude, how the devotees are so much more in a powerful position than yogis or gyanis or even karmis. So there's some nice quotes here. Prabhupada shows the position of the devotees. These are some very nice verses. O lotus-eyed Lord, although non-devotees who accept severe austerities and penances to achieve the highest position may think themselves liberated. Their intelligence is impure. They fall down from their position of imagined superiority because they have no regard for your lotus feet. That's a prayer from the demigods in the 10th canto. And there's the famous verse, Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma Nasochati Nakankshati Samasarveshu Bhuteshu Madbhaktim Labhate Param. And then Bhaktimam Abhijananti Yavanyas Chasmi Tatvataha Tatomam Tatvato Gyatva Vishishate Tad Anantaram. One who is thus transcendentally situated at once realizes the Supreme Brahman and becomes fully joyful. He never laments nor desires to have anything. He is equally disposed to every living entity. In that state, he attains pure devotional service unto me. One can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead as he is only by devotional service. And when one is in full consciousness of the Supreme Lord by such devotion, he can enter into the kingdom of God. So this is the best practice of yoga, is this Krishna consciousness. And there's no baffling, there's no difficulty. And the person is actually happy in this world while he's performing this devotional service. So there's many impediments for the hatha yogi, the dhyana yogi, the jnana yogi. But there's no impediments for the bhakti yogi. So let's finish with this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, 6th chapter, 20-23. In the stage of perfection called trance or samadhi, one's mind is completely restrained from material mental activities by practice of yoga. This perfection is characterized by one's ability to see the self by the pure mind and to relish and rejoice in the self. In that joyous state, one is situated in boundless transcendental happiness, realized through transcendental senses. Established thus, one never departs from the truth, and upon gaining this, he thinks there is no greater gain. Being situated in such a position, one is never shaken, even in the midst of greatest difficulty. This is indeed actual freedom from all miseries arising from material contact. Jai. So thank you very much. So if there's any comments, or questions or discussion? Yes, Prabhu. Right. The Bhagavad Gita says there is. But for us, like, there's different kinds of fire. Just like trying to understand fire without flames or smoke. So that's a good analogy of the fire in the stomach. It doesn't have flames or smoke. So, but there, we have to understand how there's different kinds of fires. And Archita has some more. Yeah. Yeah, there's also described the fire of devotional service. There's enthusiasm, the fire of enthusiasm. That's the soul. The soul is like a flame. It's a spark. It has light, illumination. And it, you know, that spark, that spirit soul doesn't have flames. It doesn't have smoke. But yet it's a fire. And that fire is covered over. It's like a spark. That's how we're actually analyzed. The soul is like a spark from the fire. But what happens, it comes and gets covered over by this material energy because it's very minute. And these are the clouds, the smoke of the material energy that's described. It covers that flame. So that's what our position is, to rekindle the flame, you know, of our real position of Krishna consciousness, of devotional service. Yeah, it's nice. Anything else? Okay, thank you for your kind attention. All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam.
Genius. By the moment.